RadioInfluence.com.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome to In the Trenches. I was hoping that this podcast was going to be more of a joyous thing throughout this year, but if you were Buccaneer fans, it's not quite so enjoyable at this moment. I wish I knew the answers of why we look like we've looked in the past and why we're not taking steps forward, but I don't have those answers. But we're definitely going to talk about that game yesterday, a couple other things that are going around in the NFL, the Texans owner. I want to talk about that, talk about maybe a little bit of UF football. McElwain's gone. If you watch that Gators game this weekend, I mean, it's time. Gator fans don't want to watch that anymore. Like, that didn't look like it can be fixed. And definitely doesn't have the right type of people, because I don't even know what kind of offense they're running anymore in Florida, but it's definitely not conducive to any points offensively, that's for sure. So we're going to talk a lot of football. Like I said, as a Buccaneer fan, we were hoping for better things this year, and they're not asking for Dirk Cutter's head yet, but that might be right around the corner as well. Now, I want to touch base on this Bob McNair, the owner for the Texans. If you have not seen in the news, he came out and said, basically, we can't let the inmates run the prison. And he's talking about the football players that are kneeling. Yesterday, they had a group protest by pretty much about 30 players knelt, I believe, for the Texans. And really, they weren't protesting racial inequality. They were protesting their owner. So I don't know how this thing is going to all turn out, but there's some a lot of insensitive things that are happening in this world. And I just got off the Mike Calter show. We're talking about politically correctness and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not a person that says you have to be always politically correct. I think you have to be somewhat sensitive at times. And, you know, for the owner to call millionaires inmates is a problem. And that's part of the problem. You know, these athletes are kneeling because of racial inequality, and you have a billionaire calling millionaires inmates. So, you know, does it make him whatever? I don't know what the word is. But, you know, you have to, when that comes out of your mouth, you had to have known that it wasn't going to come off well with the players. I think you had to know that. And if he didn't, that's a problem. And he came out and gave an apology, which, if somebody apologized for something, and some people are like, it's not a big deal. If you apologize for something, to get a billionaire to apologize for something, they have to do something wrong. And he apologized to the team. And I could just picture a lot of teammates rolling their eyes, because whatever the perception they had of their owner, whether they like him or not, his statement was loud. And like I said, I don't know what it makes him, but it sure doesn't put him in a good light. That's for sure. And, you know, I've heard so many fans that said they're not going to watch the NFL anymore because of these spoiled athletes that are privileged. They're kneeling. They're going to protest the game. I'm not going to watch it anymore. And I was looking at social media, and they had people saying that the Texans that were kneeling, they called them ghetto thugs. Now, I don't know what part of kneeling makes you a ghetto thug, other than the color of your skin. So it's bringing out bad shit, that's for sure. And I've heard a lot of people say they don't want to watch the NFL anymore because of these rich, privileged athletes, but I haven't heard one person say they're not going to watch the NFL because of their perception the owners have of the players. Which one is worse? I don't know. They're both not great. And ultimately, I don't think it's going to lead to anything good with the NFL. They're having a meeting, I guess, with a lot of the players want to meet with the owners. Colin Kaepernick's going to be there to be continued. But the problem with this is there's no solution. There's really no solution. They all got to buck up and figure out ways to continue to make lots of money, because the average fan doesn't want to sit and listen to billionaires and millionaires bicker over whether they should kneel or comment that the billionaire made. It all becomes very silly, to be honest with you. So, you know, we'll see. To be continued, we don't know how that thing's going to all end up. Now, let's start breaking down that Buccaneer game yesterday against Carolina. Now, I usually go to one Buccaneer game a year. That's the one I went to yesterday in the DeBartolo suite, hanging out. Like, if you have ever been to one of the suites, and I don't go to a lot of Bucs games, but when I do go, I like to be comfortable, and that's the way to do it. The weather could not have been more perfect. Beautiful day to be playing football, and then the ball got kicked off, and then the Buccaneers really forgot offensively what they were trying to get accomplished. Having that vantage point from where I was up in the suite, you really have a good feel of way things are unfolding offensively, which you definitely can't see when you're down low on the field or if you're watching television. So I can see everything unfolding from up top. And we talked about offensively what we should be doing, how we're going to get better. Yesterday against the Carolina Panthers, and this wasn't like this all year, although there's been times where it has been, the problem was our quarterback. We didn't run the ball that poorly. We didn't protect that great, but we protected well enough. It wasn't great. But yesterday, Jameis Winston was the worst player on the offense. I don't know if I've ever said that before. Between his decision-making, his inaccuracy, and an AC joint sprain, which I've had before, it will lead to, you know, messing up throws. I get that. But it just can't be an excuse. It's not allowed. If you suit up in the NFL, you're not allowed to use excuses of why you were ineffective. You're just not allowed. Nobody wants to hear it. And the AC, you know, his shoulder injury had nothing to do with some of the bonehead decisions that Jameis Winston made yesterday. And he's a third-year player, and you just can't make those decisions. You can't make those decisions anymore. It's enough. That one where you're trying to pitch it forward, end up being a fumble, can't do that. I mean, it's the risk reward is not good enough. And that's how you lose football games. Defensively, I thought they played well without really doing anything all that spectacular. Definitely up front, we're just not good on our defensive line. And I don't care what anybody says. There's not one defensive lineman doing anything. And that's including number 93. I watched the whole game twice. He made two tackles. One, he was unblocked. And he made a good a loss of yards tackle. But he was unblocked. And the rest of the game, he made one tackle. I don't remember seeing him hit the Cam Newton at all. We haven't made a quarterback uneasy at all this year. Anybody. At the beginning of this year, when free agency came along, I wanted the Bucs to sign two players. The first one, first and foremost, for me, was DeSean Jackson. And I was 100% right. DeSean Jackson could have or has the ability to take this Bucs offense to the next level if we could find a quarterback that can get him the ball. The other player that I wanted was Calais Campbell. Way back when, I said, I don't care how much money it costs. Go get Calais Campbell. Now, if you know who he is, he came from Arizona. He just signed with Jacksonville. By the way, Calais Campbell, 10 sacks this year. And if you watch a Calais Campbell game, I'll be damned if he's not disrupting things every single play. He has 10 sacks. Does anybody know how many sacks the Buccaneers have collectively this year? I'll tell you. 7. So Calais Campbell has 10 sacks. The Bucs as a group, that's DBs, linebackers, D-linemen, the whole defense has 7. So that should tell you a little bit about what we are as a football team. We're just not that great of a football team. I ask people all the time, what do we do well consistently? And punting, maybe? And you know, Anger does a good job punting, congratulations, but you don't really want to be known for that. But other than that, the Bucs just don't really do anything. Arizona, the Bucs played actually well enough offensively to win. Defensively, they couldn't. They were like a sieve. Yesterday, they played well enough defensively to win. Offensively, can't move the ball. The Carolina Panthers aren't a good football team. I'll let everybody know that right now. The Carolina Panthers, they had lost six of their last seven NFC North games. They're not a good football team, and we made them look good yesterday. The Carolina Panthers aren't 14 points better than anybody on the road, except for the Bucs yesterday. So that's where we are, a 2-5 team with a lot of people bickering. And the same people that are bickering are the ones that aren't doing anything out in the football field. And the same ones that are bickering are the ones that are making all the money. And that's becoming a problem. Talk about Deshaun Jackson. I said earlier, there was a time in the game, and it was really early in the game. It was first quarter. It might have been the second or third drive where I'm looking at the configuration of the defense. And they have one deep safety and one corner on Deshaun Jackson. And he's 5 yards off with no help to the inside. Like, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize if he runs a slant, he has no help to the inside. How can you stop that? And I said, run a slant. And I yelled, run a slant. And the play call was a slant. And I was like, awesome. Deshaun Jackson plants his foot. He takes a step and he runs a slant. And on everything I love, if Jameis Winston puts on his hands, period, he's gone. Nobody's going to catch him. There's no way that safety catches him in the open field. That was left on the football field because Jameis Winston put the ball behind him. And when I mean behind him, I mean it was 5 yards behind him. He reached back and couldn't even put his hands on the ball. Jameis is off for whatever reason. Because when you look now back at Jameis's career and the success that he's had a lot of his success due to having big, physical, imposing receivers that go up and get the ball. Vincent Jackson first, and then Mike Evans. But the rest of it, the timing part, the accuracy part, right now, Jameis Winston, he's not feeling it. And I saw him grimacing a little bit yesterday. It's a long season. And when you're hearing that Jameis Winston is not practicing Wednesday, that was last week, didn't practice Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday, he's not far enough in his career for him to get away with that. Peyton Manning at the end of his career. Tom Brady can get away with it. He has enough football. Jameis Winston has to still get better every day. And for him to not be practicing Wednesday and Thursday and then go out there on Friday, and the media was saying they're out there practice on Friday, and it didn't look great. So whether his shoulder's bothering him, I don't know what the deal is, but it doesn't look good out there. And I'm going to say this about Jameis Winston. I've always been a Jameis Winston fan, and I still am. I still believe he has the ability to be a great leader. I've also said that the word leadership is always overused, especially in sports. When you're a leader type guy like Jameis and you're doing your leadership things, it can backfire on you if you're not playing well and Jameis is not playing well. So sometimes when somebody's not playing well, you as a lineman, I don't want you looking at me and telling me squat if you're not playing well. So Jameis is in a funny place right now because I think his leadership real soon is going to be questioned because Deshaun Jackson is clearly, visibly frustrated, and he has a good reason to because he's getting paid a lot of money. And at the end of the year, people are going to look at his statistics and say, well, you're not worth that money. But I'm telling you, on the field, he is. He is that type of difference maker if you got a quarterback that can give him the football. And right now, Jameis Winston's not figuring out ways to get him the football. And I don't know how that gets better. They don't have time to practice those routes. I mean, you got a game plan for your next opponent. And I got some news for you. The Saints can ball. The Saints can ball. To go to New Orleans at 2-5 and play the Saints, I wouldn't put a red cent on the Buccaneers to go beat anybody on the road, more or less the Saints that are hitting on all cylinders. So first, at 2-5, you ain't going to the playoffs. I said that at 2-4, but 2-5, it's locked. It's done. If you can't beat Carolina at home, you're not going to playoffs. If you can't beat Arizona, you're not going to. They're not good football teams. And these are teams that are putting it on us. So I'm hearing Buccaneer fans who are trying to be as rosy as can be. Oh, we got a lot of winnable games on our schedule for the rest of the... Please, which NFC South game is winnable? We just played the worst NFC South team, I believe, other than us, and we lost at home. So you think we're going to beat Atlanta, who is beatable, but God, everybody's looking at us now and saying, well, that's going to be a win because the Buccaneers can't get things done. So mentally, they looked shattered yesterday. Like, I saw people on the sideline. They couldn't figure things out. Dirk Cutter doesn't look like he can figure things out. He doesn't know how to pinpoint the problems, because there's a lot of problems out there. There's a lot of problems out there. I don't think we're a very physical football team. When you look at Carolina Panthers, when they roll into your house and they roll in with their three linebackers that they have, and you want to talk about difference makers? Like, I thought Quan Alexander, I saw his speed come back a little bit yesterday. Levante made a play or two, but they can't hold the jock of Carolina's linebackers. If right now you gave, give me Luke Kuechly, but we'll talk about the concussion thing in a second. Luke Kuechly yesterday was everywhere. When healthy, Luke Kuechly is as good as I've seen in a long, long time. And that's in pass coverage, that's in run stop, that's everything. Leadership, the whole nine yards. Now, the fact that he was out there playing makes me sick to my stomach, because I fear that the last thing we see of Luke Kuechly is going to be him getting carted off the field with a concussion. And that's going to be the last thing we see of him, and I think that's sad. But we need some more playmakers. We need people that are changing the game. You know who played the best maybe out of the Buccaneers, and I've never, ever, ever, ever said this before? Chris Conte played a pretty damn good game yesterday, and he's usually three steps behind. Yesterday, I don't know if he matched up well, but he made quite a few plays. There was a couple plays he was a little late on, but other than that, I thought he was a difference maker. And we need more people that are making a difference. We need more people hitting the quarterback defensively. And that's just one side of the ball. And that was the good side of the football. Defense yesterday was the good side of the football. And momentum-wise, you know, we didn't have momentum throughout that game at all. And just talking to Jason before, he was like, I didn't think we were going to win the game at any time. Well, I don't think anybody in the stadium at any time thought the Buccaneers were going to win that game. When they came out at halftime, I was like, hey, this doesn't feel right. And they come out at halftime. We got a short kickoff to like the 15-yard line. The Carolina Panthers, you know, they run the ball to midfield. So we're trying to come out of the locker room with some momentum. They get the ball at midfield. Now, Conte got an interception after that, which was great. And you're thinking, okay, we got the momentum now. And Sweezy gives up the sack. Then we're out of field goal range, and we get no points out of the whole thing. So that's not winning football. Little things. And they're not doing the little things. Our offensive line, you know, there's times where I think they play well enough to win. I just think they're average to below average, and that's it. I don't see a lot of movement out there. I don't see a lot of mean play. I don't see guys punishing anybody. And that's what you see on great football teams. Sweezy's supposed to be this mean dude. I'm not really seeing it. And I don't know really where our strength is. You say you really want to run at the strength. I don't see a strength on our offensive line. Both our guards, I find, to have played shoddy yesterday. Our left guard, and they keep on moving Evan Smith and Panfield. Neither one of them played worth a darn, I didn't think. So offensive line-wise, it ain't pretty. And like you say, there's different holes out there. You know, Patrick Murray made a kick. That's great. But he hasn't been put in a tough situation yet this year. So we don't know if he's clutch. And we haven't had a lot of games that have really been tight towards the end. And last week, in that loss to Buffalo, and I just applauded the Buccaneers defense for playing well yesterday. If you really think about it, the Bucs had a 7-point lead in Buffalo with 4 minutes left, and we lost the game. In regulation, Buffalo just took right down the field, scored a touchdown, and then there was the Humphrey fumble, and then they kicked the field goal. But for God's sakes, it's too many holes, and there's not enough things that we do well. And our big-time players, they aren't playing big time. We have some players that are consistently poor. Donovan Smith, I don't know his contract situation, but next year, groom somebody else to go over there. Because not only does he get his ass kicked a lot, there's a lot of missed assignments, and there's a lot of penalties too. Penalties will kill you, man. I mean, he had some penalties, negated some big old plays. And once I was at the game yesterday, there was a positive feel before, And during the game, it just, it was, it went away immediately. And there was a Boo Birds that came out, and they had every right. I mean, that looked like an old Josh Freeman run offense. And I thought we were going to forget about that. The one thing the Bucks had been doing this year is been putting more points on the board, moving the ball a little bit better. Yesterday, man, 3 points at home in a must-win game against a team that we thought was a lesser team than us is a problem. And when you look at a Jameis Winston, who's supposed to be our spiritual leader, our leader on the field as well, he had to of, and I was counting, and I almost lost count, but it was between 8 and 10 overthrows. Not underthrows, there's a couple of those too. 8 or 10 overthrows. There's the one to DeSean Jackson, the miss and the slant was behind. I didn't even count that one. There was a deep one that DeSean Jackson had 3 steps on the defender, and he threw that 5 yards short. So there's overthrows, there's underthrows, but I haven't seen that dime. I haven't really seen a dime this year like we've seen in the past. Every once in a while, Jameis will make one of those throws, but collectively, it ain't working. And when you're looking at this defense, we were, you know, undermanned yesterday with Grimes being out, with McClain being out, and they still went out there and played relatively well against an offense that really hadn't been clicking. And Cam Newton, without the running capability, is just an average quarterback. And when he runs, he's a problem. I don't think Cam Newton is ever going to be that player again. He doesn't want to be. No, the 1 year that Cam Newton took the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl, I didn't think he was able to last the whole season and do that. And he did. He just won't last another one. He can't take that many hits. And he's learning to get down. He's learning to just run when he needs to. But without the capability of getting out there and running at will like he did that 1 year, he just really is an average quarterback with an unbelievable arm. But he's just average. So where we go from now, from here, you know, as Buccaneer fans, I have no idea. But something's going to have to change real quick because, you know, you adopted a team that was okay. You turned it around last year, and in year three, if you mess around and go 5-11, I don't know if Buccaneer fans are ready for that. And we are on pace to go worse than 5-11 because you mess around and lose this week, and I don't think anybody listening to my voice right now thinks they're going to go into New Orleans and win. I mean, they may do it because crazy things happen every week, but I know you're not going to put your money on it. Wait till you see what the spread comes out as. That is going to be, I would imagine, that's going to be the biggest spread of the week. And we definitely didn't think at the beginning of this year we were going to be on the wrong end of some spreads. If you're not a betting person, that's all good. But when you're going and you're playing an NFC South team on the road, the spread should be 4 or 5. Watch. Well, Jason said it was 7. That's high. There's not going to be many higher than that. Whoever plays the Browns may be higher than that, but other than that, there won't be a higher one than that. That's a lot of points. It's a lot of points. There's 2 other teams? Okay. But that just means we're one of the worst teams in the league again. At the beginning of this year, people were asking, can the Bucs go 11-5? My answer was no. Not a lot of teams go 11-5. No, this year, how many teams are going to go 11-5? We had to have known the Bucs weren't that good. After the first couple wins, could the Bucs make it to the Super Bowl? No. They're not good enough. They're not equipped. I've not seen the Buccaneers go out and out-coach anybody. Like, I'm okay with some of Dirk Cutter's play calling early in the season. Later in the season, I mean, some of it looks like, you know, the Florida Gators, and I don't know what the hell that is supposed to be. But there hasn't been a game where I said, wow, I tell you what, we really out-coached that team. Or we were so prepared, you know, but it's happened against us. So in the near future, something abrasive is going to happen. Either Dirk Cutter, Jason Light, or some of our big-time players, something's going to have to change. Because inside the locker room, I'm hearing the rumblings. I'm hearing them. And that never turns out well. So, you know, Dirk Cutter, he's going to have to earn his money. Because right now, Everybody's looking around the locker room, butt tight. Everybody's butts are tight. And when people start pointing fingers, and that's what's going to start happening, then becomes very divisive in the locker room, and you never know what happens after that. So Dirk Cutter is going to be in a place where he's never been before, and that's in a locker room that had high expectations, which he's never really had before, and no success. So that's what's really hard to get people inspired when at the beginning of the year, everybody's talking about playoffs and everybody's talking about winning the division and you're talking about Super Bowls. And now all of a sudden you got to come out and play on the road when you're 2-5. I'm not going to say you're not playing any for anything because they're playing for a lot. They're playing for pride. They're playing for a lot. But what they're not going to be playing for anymore is a playoff spot. I mean, that's just not going to happen. You know, a team that goes 2-4 is probably not going to lose two games in the last nine games. It's just not going to happen. You're 2-5 now. You got nine more. You have nine more games left, and the odds of you going 7-2, it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen very often, anyways. But it seems like this team is regressing, and I didn't think that was going to happen this year. I thought it was going to be a slow climb. I thought you might struggle early with DeSean Jackson, and DeSean Jackson is the least of our worries. He's still, forget about statistically, he's still one of the best players on our team. Okay, but he's one of the guys who statistically, his statistics should be substantially better. And there's times where people play better than their statistics, definitely on defense. Gerald McCoy's name comes up a lot in every broadcast, whether he makes a play or not. Okay, it comes up a lot. And I said this today on Mike Calter's show. Mike Calter said, you know, since you've talked negatively towards Gerald McCoy, Gerald McCoy played one game this year where he was dominant, okay? And I said, well, if you play like that every time, I'm good. That was one game. The rest of the games, I just thought his thing has been average to below average. And you just can't be that when you're the guy. You're supposed to be the guy, okay? And when you watch him, and Mike Calter said today, since you brought that up, I've been watching him, and I just don't see anything. If you watch him yesterday, and I watched the game twice, he's just ineffective. They're running the ball right at him. He's getting pushed off the field. He's getting pushed up the field. Yesterday, he wasn't anywhere close to the quarterback at any time. So if he's great, and I'm going to ask everybody out there, because there's some people get mad when I get at him. If he's great, because at the end of the year, he's going to make the Pro Bowl. That happens every year. If he's great, let's go back through his career, and people will say, well, he does more than his statistics. Because statistically, he's not a good football player. I mean, right now he has 2 sacks and 30 tackles. And I don't even think it's that many tackles, actually. But he has 2 sacks. And at the beginning of the year, this was the year that he's going to have double-digit sacks. So 2 sacks in the middle of the season doesn't come to 11. It doesn't work that way. So statistically, everybody says he's better than his statistics. So he doesn't have statistics. He doesn't have results because the Bucs have never won anything, period. And then our defense has never been ranked at all. So, you know, at the end of the season, our defense may be 25th ranked. I don't know where they were last year. There couldn't be no more in the middle of the pack. So we're not winning. You're not getting statistics. And we're not getting results. So what is happening exactly? That's the part I just don't understand. I know he's a great guy. I'm doing the air quotes. He's a great guy to the media. F all that. Go out and be a badass. Try to do that. Try to piss somebody off. Try to smash somebody. How about that? That's what I want to see. Forget about all this nice guy boo-hoo crap. Go out there, get some sacks, get some tackles, you know, wreck shop, and then I will leave you alone. But when I watch a game twice, and I'm watching you specifically, and I am watching him, and I see nothing, and the thing is, it's not an effort thing. He's just not doing anything. He's playing hard. He's just not turning into anything. Chris Baker complained about playing time. Dude, shut the hell up. Make a few plays. It'd be nice. There's just too much belly aching, and that's not conducive to winning. So I don't know if something's going to have to be stirred up, but if the Buccaneers go to New Orleans and get their butt whooped, there's going to be some shakeup. Something has to happen because you can't keep on doing the same thing and being unsuccessful. And that's what obviously the Florida Gators thought themselves. So I don't want it to happen. I like Dirk Cutter as a person. I like him as a motivator. I'm hoping that Jameis Winston's still the guy. But right now, the equation that the Buccaneers have on the field doesn't work. And something definitely has to change. Do I know what it is? I have no idea. But somebody's going to have to figure this out real, real soon, because somebody's going to have to fall on that sword for sure. Now, I have two podcasts during the week. I have this one, In the Trenches, which is mainly football, and I also have Flavor in Your Ear, and they could both be picked up on iTunes and Radio Influence, the whole nine yards. If you guys want to email me, if you have any Buccaneer questions or any questions, period, you can check me out, IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. If you guys have any kind of questions, would be wonderful. Actually, you could drop the .com, right? IanBeckles@RadioInfluence. It's not a website. But if you guys have any belly aches, if you disagree with something, if you want to come back at me, that's perfect. That's what this is all about, and that's what the podcasts are all about as well. I'm also on the air every morning on 102.5 The Bone, 5 to 6, bright and early. If you're up and about, get a coffee and listen to Slater and myself every morning from 5 to 6. And I have my show Flavor on Saturday with Ray Lampe, and the Ian Beckles show on Sunday as well. So I'm on The Bone every day just for a little bit. And then I have my podcast as well. But I appreciate you guys supporting everything I do. Appreciate you listening. Let's hope next week we're celebrating instead of, you know, crying in our coffee like we seem like we've been doing for the last 4 weeks, because it's been a long time since we won a football game. And mess around and lose one more, and then it just becomes second nature, and then we're back to where we were. And we're talking about the first draft pick, and I'm not ready for that, that's for sure. Everybody have a wonderful week, and be safe and enjoy this weather, please.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.